I want to take the opportunity to introduce a really good friend of mine. He's come all the way from Tampa to deliver the word to us this morning. And as I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you, because there's an anointing on his life to conceive in you the creation and the creative ability in your life. You know, each of us, no one was born again to be an employee. Now, you might be an employee now, but if you've been born again, the spirit of bara, the creator, that bara means to create. For God created, he barad you. There's a spirit of creation that comes alive in you, that God wants to fully develop in your life and bring you to a place where you're not subject to making bricks for Pharaoh any longer, but you now are in control of your life, and you are beginning to create in every dimension of your life. It's spiritually, monetarily, in your home, domestically, you are creating. And Bruce Hall has this ability to come into a place, and this is what he's done. He's walked into a place where there was nothing, and he suddenly began to create something from the bara of God in his life. And I'm telling you, it's contagious. You get around him, you are inspired. You hear his word as he preaches it, and suddenly you begin to become full of confidence of what God is going to do in your life, because you see it manifesting in his life. He's growing a thriving church down there in Tampa called Champion City Church. That's an amazing, I'm so jealous of the name of it. Champion City Church. And I want you to make him feel welcome today. And as he comes, give him a great big hand. Pastor Bruce Hall from Champion City Church. Welcome, sir.
Well, as Pastor Troy said, my name is Bruce. I'm the lead pastor of Champion City Church down in Tampa, Florida. And before I start, let me first say thank you to Pastor Troy and also Dr. Kedson for allowing me to give you guys a word today and to preach to you guys. And before I get started, I just want to let you guys know what you're doing in Tampa, Florida. You didn't even know you were doing anything in Tampa, Florida, did you? So you guys have been praying for us, Church on the North Coast has, and so we appreciate those prayers, and you guys actually sowed into the launch of Champion City Church. And so we started about 3 months ago, and in those 3 months, we've seen about 30 to 35 people give their lives to the Lord over those 3 months. We've seen four people who decided, man, I want to take that next step of faith, that outward public profession of my faith, and I want to be baptized. And so we've had four people baptized. We've got another baptism coming up next month, and so they are having church today. My wife is holding the fort down there in Tampa, and so I want to let you guys know that what you are doing in prayer and what you guys did in sowing in the Champion City, you guys are a part of the harvest that is being brought forth in Tampa. It's an area that, to be quite honest with you, I think we're 34th out of all the cities in America for unchurched cities. At one point, we were actually, I don't know if we still are, but at one point, we were actually less churched than Las Vegas. And so there is a great need. So you have churches. So you've got a ton of lost people. About 70% of the city does not go to church. So 3 out of 10 actually go to church. 7 out of 10 at home. And so there's a great harvest there, and I want to let you guys know that you guys are 100% a part of what God is doing through Champion City down in Tampa, and I want to say thank you for that. All right, so we're going to be in, if you got your, listen, anybody got your Bible apps? Come on, somebody, who does Bible, or your Bible app, who does, look at that, awesome. All right, so you got a leg up on everybody else. Listen, I love the paper Bible, but I use multiple translations, so I will be all over the place. But we will be in the English Standard Version, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. And it says this, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf." Amen. Thank God for that. "Having become the high priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word promises that it will go forth and it will fulfill the purpose in which you've set it out to do. And so here today, Father God, we trust, we believe, we hold on to the promise of your word, Lord, that your word will fulfill the purpose today in the hearts of people. Father, let your word go deep into our hearts. Let your word go deep into our minds. Father, begin a transformation, Lord, in our hearts like we've never had before. And Father, we just thank you. Father, I ask, Lord, and declare that I am just a vessel to be used of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask for an Acts 1 and 8 type of thing to happen today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come upon me and I'll be able to preach your word with clarity and with power today, Father. It is all of you and none of me. And I declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk with you guys about being anchored. As we look around, we see a lot of unstable situations, right? You look over at what just happened a couple weeks ago in England and the bombings that happened there. There's a lot of reasons for us to need an anchor because we have an unstable world. And one thing that an anchor does is an anchor brings stability to the vessel that it's attached to. And so if we're going to live in this unstable world, we need some stability. Listen, if we're going to be Cleveland Browns fans, we need some stability. Right? I mean, I got to have an anchor for my soul every Sunday. Come on, somebody. And so if we're going to do that, we've got to have an anchor for our soul. You know, about 2008, Steve Jobs created what is known as the app market, right? Anybody have apps on your phone right now? I mean, if you don't have apps on your phone, you're probably using a flip phone. Nothing wrong with flip phones. Probably got that Zach Morris brick. Huge phone. Any say about the Bell fans in the house? No? All right. And so Steve Jobs created what is known as the app market. And the app market has these applications, and the applications are meant to make our lives easier, right? They're meant to help us to be more productive, to guide us in the directions that we need. I know for myself personally, I have a Rain app that I cannot sleep without. Thank God for that. If you come to my house and you walk down even to my kids' room, my kids have Rain apps on their phone. So it is the sound of thunder and lightning all over the place. And with me being in Florida, we don't get snow. So my app has wind. It's got heavy rain, rain on a tin roof, and icy snow. Come on, somebody. Icy snow. I've got the sound of, I am a DJ of the elements. I'm just sitting there mixing in all kinds of elements till I get the right mixture just so I can go to sleep. And my wife hated it at first, but now she can't go to sleep without it. So, man, thank you, Jesus, for using Steve Jobs for the app market for that. I've got a girl in my church who, her mom was telling me she cannot get up for school on Sunday. So some of you parents might want to take this note down. Her daughter actually has an app to help her wake up. And she has to, the alarm goes off, and in order to get the alarm to turn off, she has to answer a random math problem. And sometimes it'll switch it up on her, and she has to take the perfect selfie. Her face has to fit right inside of the facial feature that it puts in, and it will only turn off if she takes the perfect selfie. Some of you selfie queens, you're looking for that app on your phone right now, trying to find that, right? First thing in the morning, taking selfies before you get out of bed, right? So there's this app market, and the app market is meant to make our lives easier. But can I tell you that God was far ahead of the game when it comes to app markets? Because the Bible is the greatest app that we could ever have. The word app is short for application. And so these apps are applications for our lives. But can I tell you that there is an app for every situation in your life? In the Bible, we call them anchors. Going back to what we said in Hebrews chapter 6 and 19 through 20, it says that we have this as an anchor for our soul, meaning Jesus. And so when we know that when we're talking about Jesus, we're actually talking about the Word of God. And so we have this anchor. We have this app. We have this anchor for our soul. And so no matter what storm you go through, no matter what wave comes up against the vessel of your life and is crashing, God has an anchor to bring stability to your life in every situation. And so I want to talk with you guys and give you two ways that you can have an anchor for your soul to keep you at peace. You know, one of the things I remember as I was thinking about this message, I remembered about the commercial for the app market. You guys remember it probably. There's an app for that, right? There's an app for that. Anybody remember that? There's an app for that. You know, need to check the weather? There's an app for that. Trying to check the traffic? There's an app for that. Want to know how bad the Wolverines are going to be? There's an app for that. Amen. Hopefully they're horrible this year. Can I get an OH? IO? All right. No Michigan fans in here? Oh man. We will have a prayer line over here after service for deliverance. Goodness gracious. All right. And so just in the same way that there is an app so you can check the weather, there is an app for hope in the Bible. There is an anchor for hope in the Bible. There is an anchor for peace. There is an anchor for spiritual warfare. There is an anchor for every situation that your life is going to go through. But here's the thing. We cannot afford to be biblically illiterate to the Word of God, because when the storms of life come up against our lives, when a wave starts crashing up against your boat, if you do not know what the Word of God says, you are anchorless and you have no anchor to bring stability to your life. And so we've got to get in the Word. We've got to get an anchor. And so as I was studying for this message, I know the function of an anchor, but I do not know the definition. I know the function, so I wanted to know what the definition was. So I checked out Webster's, and Webster says this: an anchor is a heavy object attached to a vessel that is dropped into the water to keep a vessel in place either by its weight or by its flukes, and it grips the bottom of the ocean floor. It is also known to be a rigid point of support. And lastly, it is a source of security or stability. And so the Bible is full of anchors, full of stability, full of everything that you need to have a stable life in an unstable world. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead. Let's jump into a little bit about me. Some of you guys know, I see some people in here who know me, so you know my testimony, you know a little bit of who I am. And so for those of you that don't know me, I want to kind of give you a little bit of my story of how I've needed to have anchors in my life, because I've had some unstable seasons in my life. I'm going to give you guys a 24-month window into the life of Bruce and Crystal Hall, so you can kind of understand where I'm coming from, because I've needed the anchor of God's word in my life. I've needed it, because life has come crashing, waves have come pushing, and the devil himself has come trying to overthrow our boat and sink me and my family. And so in our times of distress, I've needed an anchor. I was talking to a guy about this very thing, and he said, man, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because my daughter just died. She's 3 years old. She was 3 years old. And he said, man, I need an anchor. I need an anchor because my life is unstable, and I've got this going on, I've got that going on. And man, I need to hold my life onto something that's going to bring me some stability. And so he's like, man, thank you so much for letting me know that concept of what an anchor is for my life. And so for us, you know, before I jump into that, we all have anchors, right, for our lives. Let me kind of explain to you what some of the anchors are that we think. So like maybe your anchor is your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, right? You had this big Jerry Maguire moment. You guys met each other, right? You met each other and it was like, listen, I need you in my life. You know, she was like, just shut up. You had me at hello, right? All that stuff. So it was butterflies and all that stuff, you know. And so maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or maybe it's your job. Maybe your anchor. Some people say, this is my rock. This is my rock. My wife is my rock. My job is my rock. What is your source of stability? So maybe your anchor for your life that brings stability is your job. Maybe it's something very religious. Maybe it is your call, right? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends. It's relationships, people who you feel come into your life and they bring stability to your life. And so for me and my wife, we had these stable moments, man. When we first got married, you know, I had a really good job, good paying job. She had a really good paying job. So that was like financial anchor, right? Financial security. We had just moved into our own place. So we had shelter. How many know that's a good anchor, man? That roof over your head, not living with your mama. Listen, come on, somebody. And so we had an anchor that was shelter for our lives. We had I got burned as a child, so I had an annuity. And that annuity was given to me, and it just kind of accumulated interest from the age of 2 years old until the age of 18 years old. And so I had this huge nest egg of an anchor that brought financial stability to my life. And so we're living, we're going along in life. Life is good. Everything is great. And then one day, how many have had those one day moments, right? Those one day moments where you're like, goodness gracious. So one day I lost my job. So that anchor is out the window. The stability that was there of a financial stability, that anchor is out the window. One morning we wake up and we hear firemen running down the hall in our apartment complex and yelling at everybody, get out the building, get out the building. And so we wake up, I put on my house coat, I go outside, and thank God that I had a house coat on because underneath was my Fredericks of Hollywood pajamas that I had on. And so I had had to cover up all that sexy, right? And so... And so we get out of the building. I have nothing. We don't have any wallets. We don't have any driver's license. We don't have anything. And we stand outside at about 7:30 in the morning, and we watch that building go up in flames and watch it pancake floor by floor by floor by floor. Everything that we had was gone. There was about 6 families out of 100 that actually had renter's insurance. And so we lost everything. So now the anchor of this security of the roof over my head is gone. I have nothing. And so at that moment, I'm like, man, I got a brand new wife. I got to prove to her that I can take care of her. So let me call up J.G. Wentworth. And I hate these people to this day. But I called up J.G. Wentworth and I said, listen, I need cash now. And so I literally had a structured settlement and I needed cash now. Because we're homeless. We're homeless. We have nothing. And so I've got to prove to my young wife that, hey, listen, I got the chops to take care of you. I got you. And so I called them up and I said, listen, can you guys work out something? Will you be willing to buy out my annuity? And they said, of course they did, right? They said, absolutely, we'll buy out your annuity. So they took a huge chunk of the money and then they gave me my money. And so now I'm like, awesome, what am I going to do? I'm going to buy a house? No, I'm going to invest this money. That's a smart thing to do. That's what I should do. That's what we all should do. And so I invested this money with a friend of a friend. Listen, this sounded bad coming out of my mouth, man. So I invested this money. It's funny because the name of the company was Haven Equities, and there was no haven for my money at Haven Equities. And so I lost $536,000 in an investment scam. Pastor Troy actually walked me through that season, man. He was there for us. In the middle of all this, my grandfather, who I just got reacquainted with because my mom had moved us to Cleveland and I didn't have a relationship, he dies out of nowhere. And so there's a 24-month period of everything's going good. A lot of anchors. We got anchors in the water bringing all kinds of stability. Lose your job. Apartment burns down. Lose $500,000. And because we lost all that money, my house went into foreclosure. Because we live in a dream, house, white picket fence, guess what? That's gone now. So the anchor of this brand new home that we just bought is gone because I can't afford to pay for it anymore because I just lost all this money. Got a brand new car, that's repossessed. And so over 24 months, everything that I thought was stable, everything that I thought I could count on, everything that I thought was a solid anchor for my life went away. And so the question is what do you do when everything that you think is an anchor is not really as stable as you thought it was? What happens when that Jerry Maguire moment of you have me at hello has you wanting to say goodbye, right? What happens when the friends that you thought you had are no longer people that you can trust on and depend on, and you thought you had the stability, you thought you had it, and now it's gone? What happens when that job is in jeopardy, or what happens when the job is just not going the way that you thought it was going to go? What happens when the anchors that we trust in, we find out that they're not anchors. One thing that I've learned in my short 30-some-odd years on this earth is that the earthly anchors that we have are not stable and are not trustworthy. And so I've got to anchor my life to something. We all need anchors. I've got to anchor my life to something that is truly going to bring stability, that I can trust on, that I know is going to be there. Come rain or shine, hell or high water, I can trust in it. I can depend in it. If the gates of hell come up against my life, I've got this because I'm anchored to something that is greater than me. And so for that, like I said, I've understood, like, I cannot trust in these earthly anchors. And so I've found in my life is that the Word of God is the anchor that I need to anchor my life to. You've got to anchor your life to the Word of God. Because if you don't anchor it to the Word of God, everything, you'll find out soon, if you ain't found out already, everything that you thought was stable is not. They say this, and I'm going to give you a little bit of encouragement this morning. They say you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. That ain't encouraging, right? You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or you're going into a storm. What does that mean? No matter where you're at in your life, there's going to be a moment where you need an anchor. And here's the thing. We don't just live this Christian life for ourselves. We live this Christian life for other people, because if not, then we're not salt, and we're kind of, the Bible says we're not worthy of even being salt. We're worthless. And so my walk with Jesus, I've got to attain anchors for my own life and my own troubled seasons, so that when you come along and you have a season where you need an anchor, I can give you one of mine. I've been in the Word of God. I know what it says, and I know what you're going through. And guess what? Just like there's an app for that, there is an anchor for that. If you come to me and you've got problems in your marriage, I'm going to tell you, listen, there's an anchor for that. If you come to me and you don't have peace, I'm going to say there's an anchor for that. And it's called the peace that passes all understanding. And so let me give you an anchor for the situation and the instability that you're having in your life right now. But if we're not getting into the Word of God to find anchors for ourselves, and we are useless to other people who are going to need anchors. I'm sorry, I know that's an ouch moment, but can I challenge you? Can I challenge you? Can we talk about growing as believers, maturing as believers, and understanding that our walk is not just about us? It is broader. It is about the kingdom. It is about those who are around us. It is about people who are struggling. Paul said, everything that I go through, I know that I go through for the betterment of someone else in the faith. Everything that you go through is not worthless. It's not for nothing. And so let's get into the Word of God. Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. I'm going to be in the CEV if you're changing translations with me. It says this, my friends, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble. Can I pause for a second? I hate verses like this. Like, these are not my favorites. Like, I want the Joel Osteen translation from my Bible. Like, bring me encouragement. I like Joel. Listen, I'm not taking shots at Joel. That's my dude. Like, I like Joel. Somebody got mad. They about to walk out the back door. Listen, I love Joel. I love Joel. When I need encouragement, I listen to Joel. But there's these scriptures in the Bible where it actually makes us aware of the fact that life is just not perfect. Life is not going to be sunshine, Skittle rainbow, rainfalls and unicorns and all that nonsense. Like, it is not perfect. It is not a dream world. It is not Disneyland. We don't live in Disneyland. We live in a world where there are real life situations that happen. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, my friends, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble, telling us that it is possible to be glad in the middle of trouble. It is possible to be mad, to be glad in the middle of having a storm going on in your life. And he continues on to say, you know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. That's so true. But you must learn to endure everything. It just keeps getting worse. But you must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature, not lacking in anything. If any of you need wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. God is generous. I'm going to say that again. God is generous. God is generous, and he won't correct you for asking. Listen, if you're in a season where you need an anchor for your life, if you're taking notes, write this down. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. This is one of the greatest promises found in the Word of God, that if you lack wisdom, all you got to do is ask, and He's got an anchor for that situation. He's got an anchor for the middle of that storm, but all we have to do is say, God, I need an anchor. Here's what's going on in my life. I lack wisdom. And understand that at the end, He says He will not correct you for asking. The reason why we don't ask God for wisdom is because we feel He's going to rebuke us. We feel like He's going to look down on us like, man, you should have had that taken care of. But the fact that it's found in His Word says that He expects me and wants me to come to Him to ask Him for wisdom in the times that I lack it. He expects me to come to Him and ask Him for an anchor every time I need it. And so I've got to trust and rely on the fact that He is good, that He is a generous God, and that if I ask for wisdom, it says that some translation says He will give it without rebuke, He will give it without reproach, and He will give it to abundance. And so He's not just going to give me a little bit of insight into my situation. He's going to, it says, give generously. He's going to give me an overflow of wisdom, but I have to ask. And so maybe the reason why our lives are being tossed all around right now and we feel like we don't have stability is because we're not asking God for the wisdom that we need for the storm that we're in right now. Maybe the reason why we don't have the anchor of God's wisdom is because we're not mustering up the faith to believe that He's a good God and that He will give it to us generously. And so I want to challenge you this morning, ask God. That is all you have to do is ask, and all you have to do is have faith. Come on, somebody. My third point is this, is that you can trust the anchors of God's Word. You can trust in the anchors of God's Word. Let's jump into Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 16 through 20, I'll be in the NLT, and it says this. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound Himself to an oath so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind. So God has given both His promise and His oath. Let's pause right there, because what is happening is what the text is saying is when someone promises something, there's other translations that say that when a person wants to promise something, they promise it, or they take an oath based on something that is greater than them. So what the text is saying is that God looked around the earth and He couldn't find anything greater than Himself so that He could swear by. And so since I can't find anything greater than myself to hold myself to this promise, understand He's trying to give Abraham some security that I'm not just giving you a word and I'm not going to fulfill it. I back my word up by my own reputation. I back my word up. I back my oath up by who I am. And so you can hold me to it because I signed my name on my promises. And so he's telling Abraham, understand, this is after he's told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great and mighty nation. I'm going to multiply you. You're going to be blessed. Your descendants are going to be blessed. And Abraham is probably like, how am I going to know that this is going to happen? He says, because I signed my name on my promises. I'm so confident that my word will go forth and it will fulfill the purpose in which I've set it out to do. Like the book of Isaiah says, I will stake my reputation on it. You can know that I will fulfill what my word says it's going to do. So this is why we can go back to the text that we just read and understand that if I lack wisdom, He's going to give it to me. Why? Because He signed His name to it already. He's already said, this is my word. And if you need it, just come and ask me for that anchor and I've got you. And so He tells Abraham, I will give you this oath. And He says, so God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. So not only do I stake my reputation on the fulfillment of my word, not only do I sign my name to my promises and to my oath, but understand that I am not like y'all. That's what he's saying. Listen, we can throw our word out there and take it back real easy. He's saying, once I've thrown it out there, the toothpaste is out of the tube. There's no going back. You can trust that my word is going to be fulfilled because I am not like a man that I should lie. It says that it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for the soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so with that said, I started to think about some of the anchors, because when I get into a situation and a season where I need an anchor, the first thing I do is I need to find an anchor that specifically goes to that. I had a guy come up to me in my church and he said, "Man, Pastor, I'm having a lot of stuff going on. This is going on, that's going on." And really, everything that he was saying was a lack of peace. And so I said, if I were you, I would get in the word of God and I would find every anchor I could on peace. Find the anchor for the situation you're in. If you need joy, find an anchor for joy. If you need peace, find an anchor for peace. If you need hope, find an anchor for hope. If you need an anchor for your family, find out what the word of God says about an anchor for your family. And listen, understand that when the storms start to rage, you can drop that anchor in the middle of your situation and it will bring stability to your life. Maybe that's the reason why some of our families are unstable, is because we're going around in the waters of life anchorless. Every day that goes by that we don't read the word of God, we are willing to go anchorless. We can't come into the house of God once a week, expect for the pastor to give us an anchor. That's not stable. That's not trustworthy. I call it hunting. You've got to get into the word of God and you got to hunt for yourself. There are spoon-fed believers and then there are meat eaters. Understand that when you're a meat eater, you've got to go out and hunt for yourself. You can't rely on somebody to go hunt for you and get the meat and bring it back and prepare it for you. You've got to get in the word of God yourself and say, "Man, I feel like a little venison today. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get in the word of God and I'm going to find me some venison because I need to eat. My soul needs to eat. My spirit man needs to eat. And I'm not going to wait till Sunday to come up and have him feed me some Similac. I need a steak right now." So I've got to trust and rely on the fact that God has an anchor for every situation. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, if you're taking notes, says this: God is not a man that he should lie. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 is one of my favorite verses of all time. My team is probably tired of me quoting this verse every single Sunday in our pre-service huddle. Before church, we have a pre-service huddle where we get together as a team. We pray for the service. We pray for the word, the worship, and the people that are going to come in. And then we also worship together before the people get there. We call it tilling up the atmosphere. We've got to till up the ground of the atmosphere that's hard and make it ready for the presence of God. Make it ready for the people so that God can plant what he needs to plant. And so before every service, I quote this, and it says this: "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. But it shall," everybody say shall, it shall, not it might, not it could, not maybe, depending on how I'm feeling that day, is God, it, you know, no. Listen, it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing in which I've sent it to do. Are you casting any shall anchors into your waters? Are you casting the word of God over the boat? Listen, now, I am not a water person. I'm filling all kinds of stereotypes with that, but I am not a water person. Like, I don't do water. And so I don't know much about boats. And so I was like, man, I wonder, like, if I can get a little background on anchors for boats. And what I found was this, is that boats have more than one anchor. I always thought they had just one anchor. Boats have more than one anchor. And can I tell you, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit, you have to have more than one anchor for the vessel of your life. You've got to have more than one anchor for the boat of your life. Why? Because you don't know what situation is going to pop up. You don't know what wave is going to crash. You don't know what storm is going to come. And so because of that, I have to have an anchor for every situation. And so for me, I'll be honest, I was a little bit nervous. I've been nervous all this weekend, man. I'm home and I'm nervous as ever. I don't know. Listen, before I preach on Sundays, man, I told Pastor Troy, I'm like off to the side almost hyperventilating. I get so nervous. I don't know why. I just preacher with stage fright. That's ridiculous. And so it is that time where I am not sound in my mind, and I know it. That's what it is. And there's fear there. And so let me show you guys what dropping an anchor in your situation looks like. Because for me, when I feel fear coming on, or when I feel a time where my mind is just unsound, this is what it looks like to drop an anchor in prayer. Is that I say, God, I thank you, Lord, that your word says that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so because of that, I drop the anchor of power in my situation right now. I drop the anchor of love for your people right now. And I drop the anchor of a sound mind right now into the middle of this situation. The craziest thing that I've found in being in Florida is that I've found so many people that have no idea how to pray the word of God. They've never even heard of it. I'm like, hey, man, so what are you doing? Like, with that situation, like, what anchor are you holding on to in that? We're in a series right now called The Fight, and we're talking about spiritual warfare. And so I told them, just like there is an anchor for every situation, there's a sword for every battle. And so I would tell them, in the middle of the battle that you're in right now, what sword are you fighting with? What are you talking about? Well, the Bible says that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So what sword are you swinging right now? What do you mean? What verse are you using, man? I don't know what you're talking about. Are you not praying the word right now? I've never heard of that. You've never heard of praying the word of God? No. I see why I'm in Florida. Okay, all right. And so this is just base knowledge for us as believers. And listen, if you're in this place and you've never heard of that, please, I don't mean any offense to you with that. But as believers, we have the luxury of having God's word that we can drop into the middle of every single situation that we have. And so I want to give you that. And am I running a long time?
You're good.
I'm good? You sure? All right, man. I just want to make sure we ain't late for Avon, though. Okay, all right. So as we close, my question for you today is, how much more stable would your lives be if you got God's word and you found an anchor for your situation? How much more stable would your family be if you found an anchor for it? How much more stable would your job be if you found an anchor for it? What if we cut loose the anchors that we think are anchors that are worldly and stop relying on those and just start relying on the word of God? To start walking out in faith. Can I tell you that the instability that you see around you will become stable? It doesn't mean that storms don't come at all. The storms are going to come. Listen, understand this. Unsaved or saved, I think we feel like, you get some people like, we get saved, and I was guilty of this when I first got saved. You get saved and you think everything's going to be perfect. It's going to be smooth sailing. Everything's good, right? And then as soon as something jumps off, you're like, well, clearly I need to walk away from Jesus because my life wasn't this crazy before I accepted Jesus. But can I tell you that saved or unsaved, you will have storms. It doesn't matter who you are. It rains on the just and the unjust alike is what the word says. And so you can understand. Now, understand this too, is that the difference between the saved and the unsaved is this, is that the unsaved is going through life anchorless with no purpose. We, on the other hand, go through the storms of life with Jesus in the boat, with the anchor of God's word. And so I can get in the word and I can kind of thumb through the situation and find one and say, that one right there, I'm dropping this in my situation right now. Amen. And so let's close. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that your word is a sure anchor for every situation in our lives. Thank you, Father, that when things seem unstable, Lord, you have an answer for it. You have an anchor for it. And so, Father, I pray that you would create a hunger in the hearts of the people in this room to find an anchor in the Word of God for their situation. Father God, that they will be hungry to fill themselves up on the Word of God. And Father, I speak peace to every situation, Lord, that may be raging against them right now. I thank you, Father God, that they do not have fear. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that they have love in their hearts for everyone around them. And I thank you, Father God, that they have a sound mind in the middle of the storm, Father. And Lord, I just speak peace be still to their soul right now. And Father, we thank you for your promises and your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we will be diligent to get, just Lord, just get in the word, Father, and to grow. And Father God, understand, Lord, that these situations, Lord, they are not without anchors, Father. And the people around us, Father God, they need us, Lord, to have anchors so that we can give to them, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're here today and you're drifting a little bit, if you're drifting, I mean to say if you're out there and you have a situation, and maybe you kind of feel yourself kind of at sea and the waves are beating you up a little bit, we want to offer you prayer. And I think that I would like to have Pastor Bruce come and just pray for everyone that would like prayer today and drop an anchor for you. Sometimes you need, you know, I've been on boats with people before, and I think I was on a boat with you, Mike, and you said, drop the anchor. You know, you just pull the anchor out of there, and I didn't know what I was doing, you know. But sometimes you need help. You need somebody on the boat to say, Can you drop an anchor for me? I need you to drop an anchor for I'm busy here. Can you help me drop the anchor? And if that's you today, we want to offer prayer for you today. And as Bruce, Pastor Bruce, as you were praying, or as you were preaching, I saw God giving you fleets of boats in the bay. Which is to say, Champion City is not one, but many. And God's going to move you into territory to where you're the captain of the fleets. And God's giving you an anointing to not only captain the fleets, but also He's giving you an army to make anchors. He's surrounding you with an army of anchor makers. So each ship that comes into your fleet as a captain now has these anchors. Well, they're rich with the word. They're about to penetrate the Bay Area. The Gulf is about to be changed by a champion from Champion City Church. And I just declare that over your life. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God, that Champion City Church was a model for many. And Lord, you're about to, they're about to sail in, God. I see them sailing in, Pastor Bruce. They're all these ships sailing in to harbor, looking for a captain who's rich with anchors. And I see from the inland, I see all of these people coming to the shore with anchors over their backs, rich with the word, looking for a captain. We declare that entire gulf. By faith, we declare revival. I pray, God, for blazing revival. Oh, God. For such a time as this. I hear the Lord declare, those that are hard to define, who fly above titles and who have a depth of the word, who are able to navigate troubled waters, these are the ones equipped for the last great awakening. Father, we declare revival. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So right now, if you need prayer, just come on, line up against the front. If you're in a place where you say, I need an anchor to be dropped in my life, I really feel like I'm in a place where, you know, circumstances and life is throwing me challenges, and I feel like I'm drifting a bit, I need an anchor. I just come on, line up in the front here, and Pastor Bruce is going to pray for you before we leave. Amen? Amen. Turn that worship music up, guys, back there. If you need to go, though, you're dismissed. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Thank you for being here today. You are awesome.